We're talking about one of the very, very well-known Rishonim, who wrote a sefer in Machshava that is incredibly important, and it's good to be familiar with. One of the things that we're going to try to do is to give a little bit of insight in a broader sense to the thought of Rav Yosef Albo, the author of the Sefer HaIkarim, and we're going to try to understand in particular his take on the mitzvah of tshuva. But he's certainly a very, very powerful and very well-known thinker in Baal Machshava in the world of the Rishonim. And what I want to try to do is to give a little bit of an overview to who he was and his particular take on tshuva. And hopefully we'll be able to go and build a little bit from there. Let me begin like this. Yosef Albo we know that the Rambam was on some level mechadesh an idea called the Yigimo Ikarim. That there are certain main fundamental principles of faith, and that those main fundamental principles of faith are the most critical. So while it's true the Rambam believes that there aren't some psukim more important than other psukim, and therefore the Rambam understands that it's inappropriate to stand, the Rambam writes in Tshuvas, for the Kriyas HaTorah, only of the Aseres HaDeiros, one guy at a time, we're going to change the world. At the same time, the Rambam understands that there's something called 13 main principles of faith. There are two groups of Rishonim that argued with Rambam. Some Rishonim argued with Rambam and said, the idea of Ikarim is incorrect. That all of Torah is important. The idea that there's 13 main principles of faith, who says that there should really be Ikarim altogether? The idea of Ikarim are wrong. There were other Rishonim that argued, Rambam, maybe you're right that there should be Ikarim, but I'm not sure you're right that you have the right Ikarim. Now, the Rambam, you have these Ikarim as an example. You know, when the Rambam speaks about God not having a goof, and the Ravid says, I'm not sure, Rambam, people greater than you think that God may have had a body. So there are those who argue about individual sort of Ikarim that are present. Chicago guys ain't that elegant. There is a, I got it. Let's go for it. You're gonna be okay. Yeah. Slowly and loudly. Then you put it down on the thing instead of on the, it's only going to exacerbate the problem. It's okay. Okay. There is a, one of the Rishonim that argued with Rambam and say for, in regards to Ikarim, is Rav Yosef Albo. Rav Yosef Albo in the Sefer Ikarim maintains that there should not be 13 Ikari Emuna, but rather there should only be 3 Ikari Emuna. For him, it all boils down to 3 Ikari Emuna. What are the 3 Ikari Emuna? Number 1, Mitzias Hashem. You have to believe that there is a God. Number 2, to believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, to believe that Torah is given over from heaven. And number 3, to believe in schar ve'onesh, reward and punishment. It says of Yosef Albo that if I have those 3 Ikarim, so then I'm good to go. Now, I believe that there is a little bit of a machlokas about what the definition of an Ikar is. For Yosef Albo, the way that some describe it, an Ikar is like a seed from which other things, you know, come forth. That if you have these as your fundamental underlying principles, I believe in Hashem, I believe Torah comes in Hashemayim, I believe in Schar Ve'onesh, that then in the world of Avodas Hashem, a lot of things flow from there. That becomes the basis, the fundamentals, the Ikarim, from which things come. So why is this book called Sefer HaIkarim? Well, it's an elaboration of these three Ikare Emuna, which he has. He also happens to claim that these 3 Ikari Emuna are highlighted in Rosh Hashanah davening. Had we been able to have this year before Rosh Hashanah, like was originally planned, before the Beit Medrash set up, which ended up not taking place on Friday morning, so what we would have spoken about is that Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, actually for the Sefer Ikarim, parallel these three forms of Tar Min HaShemayim, of Schar Ve'onesh, and of Mitzias Hashem, and of Mitzias Hashem. Okay. That's one point of background which is important. So for him, a lot of things flow from your system of belief. That emuna is the basis, and the right belief will radically transform, you know, what you do, your actions. That's one. The second thing to know about Rav Yosef Albo is that in general, there's a machlokas, it seems to be, amongst different Bali Machshava. Like, what's the ultimate goal of, let's say, Torah mitzvos? Like, what's the ultimate mitzvah? What is what he refers to in one place, Hamadrega Hagadola She'ein Lamala Heimena? What is the highest madrega in a certain kind of Rosh Hashem? So as an example, the Gra in one place in Mishle sounds like perhaps the highest madrega a person can attain is a person who's a Baal Bitachon. That a person who's a Baal Bitachon, that's like the ultimate madrega that a person can get. And different Bali Machshava have different perspectives. In the thought of Rav Yosef Albo, and you find similar ideas in Rabbeinu Bachya, in Chovas HaLevavos, in the Smag, one of the Moni HaMitzvos, Mitzvot Aseh Gimel, that perhaps the highest madrega that a person can reach in Avodas Hashem is to attain and experience real Ahavas Hashem. That love of God becomes the ultimate madrega. He writes this in Sefer Karim Gimel, colon, Lamed. Hey, Ahavas Hashem Yisbarach, that loving Hashem, Hi HaMadrega HaGedola, She'ein Lamala Heimena. That is the highest madrega a person can get, that they love Hashem. He writes, V'lo yagia eileha adam, im lo achar higiu l'madrega achrona min hayira. Now, first, the person has to cultivate Yir Shamayim. You can't go straight to Ahavas Hashem. But the ultimate madrega is Ahavas Hashem. That's what we're striving for. So for Yosef Albo, there are certain underlying fundamental principles that start as sort of the bottom. They're the basis for everything. And we want to sort of inculcating the idea of a Torah min Hashamayim, of a Torah of a God, of a Schar V'Onesh, to use that as a starting point to be able to develop a relationship with Hashem where we get to a Madrega where there's real Ahava, where there's real Ahava. Now, Yosef Albo is a little bit of an extremist about real Ahava. Someone pass a Chef Shemaisa. There is the Sefer Karim has a variety of thoughts and perspectives about the nature of Ahavas Hashem, and for him, this Ahavas Hashem, which is the Ahava Yoser Gedola, has to be an exclusive kind of Ahava. Ad kedei kach, that the Ktzos writes in his Hakdama to the Chef Shmaisa, yes, Akasha. I hope I can find this, because it would be really helpful if I did, because I'm not sure I remember correctly. That that when the Ribbono Sholem charges Avram Avinu with the Akedah, he first says, Kachna as bincha, take your child. And one of the ways he describes Yitzchak is asher ahavta, that you love Yitzchak. After the Akedah, when Akash Baruch Hu tells, Al tishlach yadcha el hanar, Akash Baruch Hu tells Abraham not to kill Yitzchak, he drops the qualification that Avram's in love with Yitzchak. Wonders the Ktzos, why would this be so? How come initially Avram is described as loving Yitzchak, and then he's described as not loving Yitzchak? What exactly was the shift which took place? So he quotes, based on the Sefer Ikarim, the following very extreme idea. He quotes, based on the Ikarim, that Ahavas Hashem is supposed to be exclusive. That if you're really in love with something, you're in love with it and with nothing else. And part of the goal of the Akedah was Avram pre-Akedah loved Yitzchak. He really, really loved Yitzchak. But the problem is that if you really love Yitzchak, that means on some level that your love for Hashem is not really complete. And part of the goal of the Akedah was to break Avraham's love of Yitzchak. This is not a modern, inspiring, kind of a feel-good idea. You can read Chief Rabbi Sachs has a beautiful comment that will make you feel better about the Akedah. But he understands that part of the goal of this was to break Avram's love of Yitzchak. And that's why post-Akedah, when Avram is willing to kill him, for Ribbono Sha'olam, the Torah no longer refers to Yitzchak as the son that Avram loves, because at that point he was at a madrega where his only real love was for Ribono Shel Olam. That was the only real love. Kaitim was wondering, the Shmaisa's Hakdama is long. I'm on page 70 right now, and I still can't find where it is. That is not what I was looking for. But I know it was so long, so full disclosure, wasn't obvious. I've never gone through all of it, so no. Nor have I apparently even turned the pages. He writes, "Be'ikarin v'yahavta Hashem Elokecha, ava gemura eino ela le'echad." That avas Hashem is the ultimate madrega, but it has to be focused only on Hashem. And if you love anything else, eina shlema kol kach. Eina shlema kol kach. And that's why initially Avram is told asher ahavta, then he's told not ahavta. The sayon was to see, as long as he loved Yitzchak, lo hayis shlema imo yisbarach. So it had to be, achar amdu b'nisayon, ukvar hishlem ahavaso lo yisbarach, achar ahavaso ratza lishchod es bino, so that he no longer had the ava for his son, and it was pure ava for Hashem Yisbarach. Okay, that is intense. That's not typically the hakdama to parenting, Shmuzin, as far as what you're looking for. Just really love Hashem and don't love, you know? One of my sons, Ari, when he's like a little bit interesting, he thinks about things. So he said to me once, I don't know how he thinks of these things. He's like, who do you love more, me or Hashem? Mm. And if the answer is that you love me more, that's not okay. And I was like, I was giving him a bath at that moment, you know? Like, it was one of these, like, real sort of, like, not the time for this conversation. It's like one of these conversations like a kid asks every once in a while, which is, like, very disturbing to a parent. If Hashem, like, when they hear about the Akedah the first time, if Hashem commanded you to kill me, would you listen to Hashem or me? And you're like, you want more candy? I think candy is where we want to go right now. You know, like, let's just get, like, not a topic that needs to be discussed on any level with any child, whatever the answer would be. I'm saying it's not for now. So either way, so for Yosef Albo, just understand this is the background to his take on tshuva. The basis is going to be Ikari Emuna. That's what everything stems from. But we're trying to build past Yira all the way to an Avas Hashem. And the Avas Hashem we're trying to get is an Avas Hashem where we are really exclusively focused on Hashem. Okay. So what's the goal of tshuva? So what's tshuva really all about? So where does tshuva come into this for Yosef Albo? So I titled the shiur here, tshuva as an expression of our faith and love of Hashem. So tshuva is, I think it's, you know, it's not bad. We're looking for something that's going to unite. Tshuva is something which fits within here, and the question is where. And for Yosef Albo, the starting point's a Gemara in Meseches Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma tells us the name of Reish Lakish, this Gemara many of us are familiar with. The person does tshuva miyira, so any of their averas, they violated b'mezid, is considered as they violated b'shogeg. But any tshuva any tshuva that you do b'ahava, because Baruch Hu, all of your averas are not just kizchuyos. So what's going on? So it's important to qualify. There's a woman who wrote her doctorate, her dissertation, on Rav Yosef Albo and the mitzvah of tshuva. It was way too late last night and early this morning. Not both. I slept. It's nice. But she wrote it on the Ikarim and tshuva. So she points out that nowhere in the Sefer Ikarim does he write that tshuva is limited to Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he speaks about it in very general terms. But let's try to understand. This is what he suggests, and it's a very, very beautiful kind of an idea to take us through a particular Gemara. This is Sefer Ikarim, Maimer Dalet, Perek Chaf Hei, Dalet Chaf Hei. He writes, I think that of all the mitzvos in Torah, Kishechipasnu kol mitzvos ashe shebetorah, he holds like the Ramban, there's a mitzvah asay to do tshuva. Of all the mitzvahs asay, lo matzinu mitzvah sheyizke ha'adam ba bilvad l'tachas hamusag, there's no mitzvah that gives you as direct a route to getting to the ultimate value of all of Torah like tshuva. V'zeh ha'tachles ha'mechuvim b'torah uvasiyas ha'mitzvah hu ahavas Hashem hu maybe it's ha'adam ha'schar ha'gadol m'kavol nefesh, that tshuva at its core is the mitzvah
which isn't limited and focused in a narrow way. It's a pure mitzvah whose gear, whose goal,
which is an expression of a person's real avas Hashem. So says the Albo as follows. There's tshuva miyira. He suggests there's two kinds of tshuva miyira. One of them works, and one of them doesn't even work. The lowest level of tshuva miyira suggests Yosef Albo. The lowest level of tshuva mi'ava suggests Yosef Albo, tshuva miyira, sorry, is when God is punishing you, and at the moment that He's punishing you, you repent. But the second He stops punishing you, you go back and do whatever it is that you were doing. Then it's not called tshuva that works at all. So as an example, he puts into that category Paro. Paro's tshuva was a very low-level tshuva. When God was punishing him, he repented. The second God stopped punishing him, he stopped entirely. He stopped entirely. He went back to doing, whatever he was doing beforehand. That's Vani Hichbarati as Libo, Rabbi Yosef Cairo understands, Rabbi Alba understands, not the pshat like Rambam says, that God took away the right to do tshuva from Paro, but rather that God took away the exact punishment. And the second that God took away that punishment, so Paro's heart went back to doing what he always wanted to do. Says of Yosef Albo, that tshuva at its core has to come from Emunah. Emunah is the basis. And when the only reason why you stop sinning is because you're being punished at that moment, it's not coming as a result of belief of anything. It's just trying to get through that day. I just don't want to get beaten up right now. But I don't believe in anything. I have no real emunah. That's the lowest level of tshuva. It doesn't work at all because it doesn't even have the underlying emunah which everything comes from. But says of Yosef Albo, there is an additional darga. That additional darga is a yira, where it's yira where I'm scared. I'm scared of punishment. I'm scared. I don't want to mess up. Maybe I'm in awe of Hashem. But I'm a little bit scared of Hashem. I do tshuva miyira not when I'm being actually punished by Hashem. I do tshuva miyira when I am
scared of being punished.
When I'm getting punished. But even when I'm not being punished, it stems from a degree of emunah. It stems from a degree of emunah. So it's in the system because it comes based on emunah, but it's a lower level phenomenon in the system. It's a lower level phenomenon. It's not really there in what we're supposed to have because it's good. So what does the Ribbono Shel Olam say? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, tshuva, I'm willing to forgo. I'm willing to forgive and to knock it down to a level of shogeg. But even shogeg tzarech kapara. Even shogeg requires some atonement. You violate an aveira b'shogeg, could be you bring a carbon chatas. You violate a mitzicha b'shogeg, you need kapara of going to in your miklat. That a person who violates things b'shogeg is still held accountable for. I'm not punished as severely, but I still need some kapara. So if I do tshuva miyira, so it comes from an emunah, it comes from a recognition and an awareness, but it's not really there. And it's not there enough. So because Baruch Hu responds, b'shogeg. But says of Yosef Albo, what happens if I do tshuva me'ahava? What happens if I do tshuva me'ahava? So there's an amazing machlokas, which is an interesting thing to work off of. Many, many Bali Machshava understand, based on a comment of the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Ramchal and Mesil Yesharim understands it like this. Yosef Albo and the Sefer Yikarim understands it like this, which is that tshuva makes no sense. The idea that a person could go back in time and change what they did doesn't really make any sense at all. There's no underlying logic to why if I do tshuva me'ahava, as an example, my zidonos should suddenly now count as chuyos. Rather, the whole thing is an act of chesed of Ribbono Shel Olam. Because Baruch Hu acts with us and gives us a degree of chesed. Not all agreed with this. Salvechik in Al HaTshuva, there's one right there. Salvechik in his thought and tshuva claims that it's logical. There's an underlying rationale why if Zidonos not why Zidonos Nasas Kischuyos makes sense. Makes sense. That there's a logic there. What's the logic there? Tom, it's actually an amazing idea to be aware of. It's fascinating. People mess up in life. So the biggest question, what do you do with that mess up? What do you do with that mess up? So Salvatic suggested the following. Tshuva me'ahava, at its core, is where I look at all of my mess-ups, and I learn from all of my mess-ups to end up becoming a significantly better person. To become a significantly better person. Right? That's a shtickle they say about certain athletes, that their failures, or politicians also, I guess, that their failures, some of the best ones, lost a lot, learned from that, and then became better as a result. If you are a golf fan, anyone here a real golf fan? So, who was a runner-up in the most majors ever, I think?
Runner-up.
I think Jack Nicklaus. I think Jack Nicklaus was a runner-up in many major events. Okay, I don't care. You will not take away my point right now. I make golf references once every 11 years in my job. I'm gonna stick with this.
Do you remember the last time you made golf
references? No, I've only been for 11 years. There is a so Jack Nicklaus. So part of the point was people who are very good learn from their mistakes and become better as a result. The Rav understood that's pshat and why your Zidonos becomes Chuyos. Because if your mess ups you learn from and they make you into a better person, so we are able to look at your Zidonos, not really as mess ups, but once you've learned from them properly, so they've bolstered you to go in a more positive, healthy direction. So it becomes like a zechus for you because it made you into something which is better. So we can look at that mess up and say that mess up is like a zechus because it allowed you to be the better person that you are right now. Me'ein the Gemara brachos and lamed dalet. The makom shvali tshuva omdim ain't in gemurim yichol lamo that you have the capacity to have learned from certain experiences that can radically alter you. But Rabbi Yosef Albo claims that's not true. He claims that tshuva is a gift from Hashem. Logically, if a person sins, they deserve to get punished. Those of us learning Tomer Devorah Wednesday mornings, the Ramak assumes like this also. That when a person sins, what really should happen is there should be swift, immediate punishment right away. Even giving you time to do tshuva is a chesed of Ribbono Shel Olam, let alone the phenomenon of tshuva itself. It's all a chesed of Hashem. Says Rabbi Yosef Albo in a couple of different directions. He says like this. Tshuva is a chesed of Hashem, and it's a very easy chesed of Hashem. Ki karvi lecha davar me'od, deficha v'vavcha la'asoso. It's a very, very simple and easy chesed of Ribbono Shel Olam. Look him there in the Tzavim. It's a very simple kind of an experience. But said Yosef Cairo, he says, in the following way, he says, you know what it's like? It's like, imagine a person's like in a terrible position. Rachmana litzlan, they have a terminal illness. And they're going around, and the doctors all say, there's nothing, nothing we can do to help you. And a new doctor comes. The new doctor says, I have the solution. I know what you could do to get better. So we would anticipate, says Mr. Albo, that whatever the solution is, it's going to be wildly hard. That whatever that solution is going to be something which is going to be like, it's very hard, it's very challenging. Because no one else thought of it, nobody else had it. And it must be that if you come with a some sort of a medicinal remedy, there's going to be something which is incredibly challenging. So a person sins and they struggle a lot and they're having a hard time. And the Baruch Shalom says, I have a way out. I have a way to fix all that you did. So we would expect it to be incredibly challenging. But it's not. It's kikar v'lecha davar me'od. It's not that hard at all. It's easy. It's easy. Hirhuri tshuva are easy. It's easier than it should be. It's like the doctor says, yeah, all you do is drink water and you're fine. Like, what? Yeah, so it's an easy solution. So tshuva is a chesed of Hashem. It's a chesed which doesn't need to be as challenging or as hard. The person's able to do it. But he writes like this: tshuva me'ahava. So if a person's able to return with ahava to Hashem, so then says of Yosef Albo, the Ribbono Shel Olam responds in turn. At least in one of the ways he says it. If you return to Hashem out of Ahava, and Ahava is the ultimate Madrega, I believe enough in Hashem, I love Hashem enough, that the reason why I'm returning is not because I'm scared of punishment. The reason why I'm returning is because I really just love Ribono Sholem. It's like the very wild line, it's not really like so much, of the Nomali Melech once said. It's like a good one. That if La'achar Me'ev Esrim, the Ribono Sholem tells him that he has to go to Gehenim, he's going to go to Gehenim singing and dancing to Mekayim the Ratzon of the Ribono Sholem. It's a wild kind of an idea. But that the Avas Hashem is so powerful. It's not about Onesh or not. I love Hashem and I want to come back. When a person loves Hashem, when you're demonstrating a connection to the ultimate value, so our Kadosh Baruch Hu responds. Kadosh Baruch Hu responds in turn. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "El Shemitzad Chesed Eloki, V'Derech Nedavet Ni'avas Hashem Yisbarach Ilav Aydei Atshuva." That when you love Hashem in that kind of a way, so Kadosh Baruch Hu responds back with an enormous amount of love, It's a very beautiful line. Kolomar, Kemosha Tshuva Haisa Me'ava. When you return Me'ava, Kain Ani Ohavam Nidava. Because Baruch Hu says, "I'll love you back in a very, very powerful way." That when you demonstrate love, He's always waiting for there to love you back. It's like the mashal would be: you have a couple, the guy and the girl that are going out, and he messes up wildly. The girl still loves him. And all she's waiting for is for him to own up to the mistake and to love her. And the second that he's willing to own up to that and to love her, she is all in to love him back. She's waiting there to love him back with a tremendous sense of ahava, to overlook so many mess-ups because she loves him so much. All that she wants is him to own up that he messed up and to come and to love her. And she's waiting there holding on. Because Baruch Hu wants a person whose basis is emunah, a knowledge that there's a Hashem, Torah min HaShemayim, there's Schar V'Onesh, a person that as a result of that knowledge of Hashem is able to become the kind of person that falls in love with Hashem. And said Yotzev Albo, the highest Madrega is not a person who never messes up. The highest Madrega, because Baruch Hu looks at, is not a person who's always perfect. It'd be great if a person was always perfect, but we're not all perfect. And Ein Tzadik Ba'aretz, Jasper Loyakta, everybody messes up a little bit. But if a person can say, "I want to come back because I love Hashem, I'm not scared of punishment. I really just want to be closer. I really just want more of a shaychus. I really just want more of a positive relationship with Ribono Sha'olam." And therefore, when I'm saying a vidoy, the primary kavana is not, "I want to say this so I don't get punished," but I feel bad that there's distance between me and Ribono Sha'olam. I feel bad that there's a barrier between me and Hashem. And I want to get better so I can be closer. I want to get better to have greater ahava. So when that couple reconciles, it doesn't mean it's always the easiest thing for the guy to own up to your mess-ups. And it doesn't mean it's always easy for everyone to fall in love. It's hard to fall in love sometimes. We have to invest to fall in love sometimes, to work hard to fall in love sometimes. But when a person's able to do that, says Yosef Albo, "I love Hashem, and therefore I want to be closer. I want to be closer." So when that takes place, I believe in Hashem and I want to love Hashem. So when we take that step and Tshuva Me'ava, Baruch Hu says, not only am I wiping the slate clean, I'll respond with unfathomable ahava. All the mess ups, I'll count them as chuyos. All the mess ups, I'll count it as if you gave me that anniversary gift instead of, you know, anything else. I'll say it in a very intense way. You know, even when you ran away with your mistress for 3 weeks, I'll count that as a chuyos because I love you so much. You know, I'm willing to count it as a chuyos. It's kilu we went away for 3 weeks together. You know, even though you did X, I'm still willing to overlook that. It's an unfathomable amount and a beautiful sense of ahava. But that's a Ribono Sha'olam level kind of an ahava. It's a very, very intense form of ahava to be able to bring it in a particular direction. That's an ahava which is present. That's an ahava which is there. It's an ahava which is very, very real. For the Ribono Sha'olam, so the love is a dominant trait. Love's a dominant trait. And we can mess up. But Tshuva Me'ava, because Baruch Hu says, "You love me, I love you. You love me, I love you." And part of my love of you is it's all good. It's all good. It's all mitzvah. It's all chuyos. And it's all there. I wonder if you know, take this or leave it. But that's why I think that's part of why the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening. So if you ride the nusach, so there's an element which highlights a certain kind of tshuva miyira, but there's definitely an element of our davening where a person experiences ahava, and if a person's entire yamim norayim is only yira, so it's pretty clear in Reish Lakish that's a lower level of tshuva, and it's pretty clear in the Sefer Ikarim you're deciding to set the tone like I want to just get halfway there. And if you want to strive for something, so it has to have yira also, but we're also striving for a certain kind of ahava. And if we're striving for a certain kind of ahava, so that's sort of what we're looking for, is a particular kind of excellence where we can really fall in love with, we can really cultivate a certain kind of love of Ribbono Shel Olam, There's something very powerful. About that. So in that sense, Yosef Albo in the Sefer Ikarim understands to add one layer. Emunah is the basis. When a person does mitzvos, ideally they come from a recognition, like Baruch Hu's in this world, Schar Ve'onesh. When a person does Averas, often that stems from a lack of Emunah, a lack of a recognition of God, of the phenomenon of Schar Ve'onesh, of Tarmina Shemayim at that particular moment. There's a gift. And that gift is called tshuva. And that gift of tshuva, which we do, not because at that moment someone has, you know, a gun to our head, but the second it goes away, we move on. But a tshuva which comes, tshuva to be tshuva has to come with a recognition of a degree of emunah, and tshuva ideally is an expression of our love of Ribbono Shel Olam. And when we really love Ribbono Shel Olam, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll love you back like crazy, and I'll do crazy things for you. It'll be unbelievable. I'll be able to do the best things in the world. So, There's definitely a lot of chizik here. And hopefully, as we sort of like, we have a couple of days before Yom Kippur. So we've spoken a little bit about different mahalchim and tshuva. We spoke about Rav David Salvechik. We spoke about the Meshech Chachma. We spoke about the Sefer Ikarim. Anybody else is here or not? We had three. So we spoke about different mahalchim as far as tshuva goes. And everyone has their own kind of like a more of a ferocious intensity, a certain kind of recognition of opportunity. And tshuva, first of Albo, what I think is very powerful, is he puts tshuva in the context of an overview of Avodas Hashem. What Avodas Hashem really is. There are basics, there are aspirations, and there are things that help us unite those two. And tshuva, he understands, is one of the best mitzvos to be able to take you from here and to help a person, you know, rise up. So hopefully we can be zocha to love the Ribbono Shel Olam, to feel Baruch Hu's love of us, and then it can all be wonderful and good. Have a great rest of your day and have a really beautiful Shabbos.